Hey, this is Carlos GGS from Guitar God Secrets. Guitar God Secrets, learning how to get you better faster than anybody else out there. Hey, I'm glad you came back because I got some cool stuff for you on the podcast. Good stuff indeed. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the mistakes that a lot of guitarists make. And then I want to talk a little bit about buying stuff. You know, what should you buy, what shouldn't you buy, and who you should and shouldn't buy it from. But I want to start out with talking about some tools of the trade. The tools of the trade, meaning the things you got to have to be a guitarist. There is stuff you really need to have that isn't really, it's not the stuff you get with your guitar. It's stuff you need to have in order to play guitar effectively. Okay. And to do that, these little tools are absolutely necessary. The first tool is, of course, a metronome. You need a metronome because you got to learn how to keep time. You got to learn how to do that. And you got to learn how to do it with your body as well. You got to be able to learn how to tap your foot or bob your knee or shake your head, you know, do an Angus Young, whatever it is you need to do to keep your time and keep the rhythm on. It's really important. I just saw a great movie last night, Whiplash. If you haven't seen it, it's about what it takes to be great in music is what it really is about. But the story itself is about a drummer who goes to a conservatory to learn how to play drums better because he's a real good drummer, and how far he's pushed by this cruel and sadistic teacher. It's an excellent movie, but it brings about that whole topic of what would it take to be really great on the instrument you're playing. Well, one of them is that internal rhythm. So get yourself a metronome. The next thing you gotta have as a tool is an electronic tuner. One that can, well, of course, first, I don't know many people that go off standard tuning, which is A equals 440, but, you know, some people might, I don't know. You can get one that's adjustable if that's true, but just get an electronic tuner, that you can effectively tune to and tune your instrument to. You gotta be able to hear that in your head. But for those of us that don't have perfect pitch, having a tuner is the next best thing. What else do you need? You need a set of tools. You need a physical set of tools, and that means a complete set of Allen wrenches, a fairly decent set of Phillips head and flathead screwdrivers, and probably more likely than not, you need a few precision screwdrivers, depending on, well, different things, and depending on what you do with your actual guitars. I do a lot with my guitars. I take them apart. I change out parts all the time. I change out pickups a lot. And that's where it helps to have a soldering iron, for sure, because you can then, of course, rewire and wire your guitars. And you should learn how to wire, how that all works in there. It's not very complicated. It's actually fairly simple. I grew up learning electronics, but it's not very hard to learn how all that stuff works inside the guitar, okay? What else do you need other than tools like that? Oh, in your toolkit, definitely think you need, of course, to have a good tackle box that can hold all this stuff, because you're going to find, after you get busy working on your guitar, that all those parts and things need a place to live, and you don't want to throw them away. You don't want to just throw them into any old box. You got to keep them organized. So get yourself a really good multi-drawer toolbox or tackle box, something with a lot of little compartments, so you can separate the screws, the pickups, the wires, all the stuff that you pull out of the guitar. You can keep them all someplace cool. And, well, there's a lot more than that. I'll talk about that in the future. But that's just some of the basics I think you should have, the tools of the trade. Now, let's talk really quickly about mistakes you make on the guitar. What kind of mistakes do guys make typically? Or girls, too? Anybody really makes? We make a lot of mistakes. One of them is physical, very important physical thing, and that's your positioning of your body. And these are things that I will demonstrate and do demonstrate in my video podcast, which you can see on YouTube on the channel. Go on to YouTube or go to the website, go to guitargodsecrets.com, and of course click on the link and you can go see our YouTube channel. One of the mistakes guitarists make is the right hand positioning, how they hold their right hand. And I'll be the first to tell you that some of the best guitarists you've ever heard, and ever, you know, anybody you've ever heard, they have some bad technique, and it's because they learned on their own. What they had was a phenomenal amount of drive, passion, and sometimes talent to overcome that and just keep going anyways. They kind of built that into their style. Eddie Van Halen's tremolo picking is an example. Zakk Wylde's right hand positioning is another example. He keeps his wrist cocked at what would normally be considered to be kind of a slightly unsafe angle. But you know what? He makes it work, and that's fine. It doesn't really work out to be an endorsement of bad technique, though. Okay, just because these guys are great and they use non-standard positioning doesn't mean it's a good thing to do. It just means that they've built it into their style and made it work. notes. But you want to, as much as possible, use good form. Somebody that uses really excellent form in their playing, by the way, and a good example is Glenn Tipton of Judas Priest. He's extremely relaxed. He has really good positioning with his hands. There's some things he does that are a little bit non-standard, but for the most part, he's managed to work in a very clean, relaxed, healthy style to his playing and his physicality. So your right hand is important. Your wrist positioning. Okay, be careful about how you cock your wrist. You would a slight angle is fine, but too much of an angle, and you're going to risk doing things like what we call reverse pick slanting, where you turn your pick, and I can't explain this obviously in audio, but you turn your pick at an angle where you're actually it's inclined in such a way as it's working against the strings. Now, some people make this work. If you look at any of the videos of Sean Lane, his guitar instructional video, you'll see that he does that reverse slanting to the strings, and he was incredibly fast. But again, it's not an endorsement to use bad technique, okay? I'm simply telling you that if you have a choice now and you're a beginner or even an intermediate, you can clean this stuff up. I'm going to consider myself an advanced player, and that's not bragging. It's just the amount of time I've put in, and there's still things I am cleaning up on a daily basis I have to kind of focus on, things like how I do my sweep picking and stuff like that. So don't let it faze you. It's something you can clean as you go. Even Sean Lane said that he used to be very, very sloppy, and his speed was awesome, but he was a sloppy player, and then he just cleaned it up later on. You don't want to do that route if you can avoid it. Start out clean. Start out with a good, relaxed style. Oh, your elbow is something else, and that really depends on the positioning of your guitar, where you're letting it hang on your body. Are you letting it hang really low? Again, something that Zach Wild does is he has his guitar really low to his body, and he's playing with, well, you just look at the pictures and you'll see what I mean. Now, is that a bad position? Well, you know, for some people it might be, because it might force you into an unnatural physicality. And those unnatural positions are what create injuries for a lot of people. So be careful about that. Don't emulate another guitarist until you've had a chance to find your own, you know, best place where you want that guitar to hang, your most comfortable angle for your elbow, and then look at a lot of the other guitarists out there and kind of take an average snapshot of where they're positioning the guitar, positioning their arm, their elbow, their wrist. All that stuff factors in. I'm going to talk a little bit about posture in an upcoming video, but there's also that factor. You know, are your shoulders hunched over? I typically have knots in my shoulder from having a guitar on my body all the time, because I almost always have the strap on. Boy, that's not bad. I always have my guitar on a strap over my body. Let's just put it that way. And since I'm a regular player, I'm not a left-handed player, I'm a right-handed player, I have a particular place that the strap hits my shoulder, and then the other side gets cramped up because that's my right arm. You know, all this stuff factors together. So keep that in mind. Take yourself an average snapshot and see what other people are doing. And by all means, do not get too used to playing sitting down with a guitar in your lap, because you're going to get used to it being very high up. And not that that's a bad thing necessarily, but it's not realistic to playing in front of live audiences, because you're not going to be sitting. You're going to be standing with a guitar strapped to you. Oh, I could go into this topic forever, because there's just so many different variations I'm thinking of, from, you know, John Petrucci, who plays with a guitar up high. Glenn Tipton also plays with a guitar fairly high up on his body, holding it up. And there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, it's probably more comfortable and more healthy. Then you got players like Slash and Zach Wild, who hold their guitars ridiculously low. So again, it comes back to what's comfortable for you and what will reduce the likelihood of injury. Very important. Another mistake, and this is my last of the mistakes for today I want to talk about, is the discipline to your playing when it comes to bends. How do you play your bends? Make sure you are always practicing your bends with a target note in mind. If I'm bending the G string at the 7th fret, which is what I'm doing now, to the E note, or the note that's at the 9th fret, I want to be able to bend up there, okay? If I just bend randomly, well, that was too far, because the note is actually, and that's the target note I'm going for. So I got to hear this note and bend up to it. Okay? And that's what you have to do, and it's a great exercise, is to go through every note. If I'm an A minor pentatonic, I want to bend, let's say, the 8th note of the high E string to the 10th fret, which is the next note up. If I want to bend to that, the good thing to do is to play the note, the 10th fret, the D note, on the E string, and then bend the 8th to it. And what I did there was I went flat, I went sharp, I went high and above it, so they could hear the differences, and then get to the last one, which was the one where I finally finished with the tremolo. And that one was a little bit squeaky. Let me try that again. And I'm playing it on an unfinished neck that needs to be cleaned badly, so it's sticking a little bit. You get the idea. You want to bend up and get to the note you want, okay? You've got to practice that. Also, with your vibrato, two things you need to consider. How high and low, how high are you bending the note, and at what frequency? If vibratoing your note like this, how fast am I doing that? Well, I probably want to do it at least reasonably within time to the song, unless it's just a wicked, weird vibrato, which it might not matter to the actual rhythm of the song. But that's still something you need to think about. And you need to think about how high and low. You know, you can do some pretty wicked sharp bending there to get to a higher vibrato. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you, though. So think about that. What note are you trying to target? How fast are you doing it? Because the slower you do it, the more it stands out and the more accurate you need to be with your target note. So there you go. A little something else to think about. So practice that with your bends and your vibrato. Think about where they need to be and think that there is a discipline to them. You need to have discipline to your bending and your vibrato. And lastly, I want to talk just a few moments about where you need to buy your stuff. Where is a good place to get stuff these days on the internet? Well, I buy a lot of my parts from Amazon. There's so many different people now that sell their stuff through Amazon. It's not Amazon actually fulfilling the orders necessarily, but they're also a reseller or a part of the marketplace is a bunch of people that are selling their stuff through Amazon. So you can find a ton of stuff out there, and pretty much anything you want. Now, there is some obscure stuff you just can't even get on Amazon. For some reason, they just don't. Nobody's advertised it up there. There are suppliers just don't find it worth their while to put up there, in which case you want to go to some of the other parts places that are out there. All Parts is a good retail or a good seller of parts for guitars. It's allparts.com. They'll sell you just about anything you need, knobs and pieces for the for your tremolo. Any of that stuff is on All Parts, and that's a good place to go. But when it comes to buying a guitar, and this is another one of those huge topics, guys, I could just go off on many different tangents here, but I'm going to go from my recent experience. There are some places you can go to and some places you can't to buy guitars. I used to think I would never buy a guitar online, quite honestly. And then I did. And I had a good experience, and I kept doing it. Well, I did it a couple times, let's just say. And I actually got lucky. I got very lucky. I bought some expensive guitars online, and I bought some not-so-expensive guitars online. But they all worked out fairly decently. Recently, I haven't had such good luck. And I'll tell you that the company that I went through was Sweetwater. Now, I recognize that Sweetwater does fulfill a need for musicians. They have a lot of good stuff. They really are trying hard, but I had a bad experience. It was a pretty bad experience working with them because I wasn't getting the guitar set up quite the way I wanted. And I won't go into detail here. I'll just leave it at this. It's worth trying, but the problem is that they are not fulfilling their value add, I guess I would say. Every company that sells something is giving you a value of some kind. They have to add value to the purchase. Otherwise, there's no reason for you to buy through them. Sometimes the value add is they give you the lowest price, and that's the only value add there is, in which case, that's why you go to them. For some, the value add is what they give you in terms of support or extra knowledge or whatever it is that they give you, but they give you some kind of value. Sweetwater's value proposition is that they pretty much, if they sell you a guitar, they're going to set it up. They're going to give you pictures of it. They're going to give you specifics about that guitar because they look at all the instruments that they get in. You can be very specific about the guitar you're selecting from them. They set it up for you when and then they ship it, and they kind of give you a little bit of hand-holding. Well, the last two well, actually, the last three I've bought from them didn't have that done very effectively. They've kind of fallen down in that respect. I recognize these guys are also really awesome. Their sales staff and their support is really, really good. These are really nice guys. I'm not mad at them in any way. I just feel like they've fallen down on their value proposition quite a bit. That being said, they are still a very legit and viable place to get your instrument from. I just may have been unlucky, okay? I might have had some issues there, and I don't want to discourage guys from using them because some people probably are rabid users of Sweetwater's services, and that's great. There's a lot of them out there, though. There's a lot of guitar places to go to. You can got Musician's Friend, you know, you got that, for example, to get your guitar through. I would encourage you, if it's possible, to not buy your guitars online unless you're looking for a very specific paint job or a very specific model of a guitar. And even then, I would recommend that you still get your hands on it in some form or another. Go to a music store. Go to your local music store. I really encourage guys to support their local music stores. These are the places I went to when I was a kid before there was the internet to order stuff through, before the big stores came along. Guitar Center, I'm talking about you, or as some people call it, Guitarget. You know, there's lots of more mainstream stores, but really, the down-home guitar store that you used to go to, the music store you went to, sometimes you had some pretty questionable personalities working there, some annoying, arrogant people, because they were local musicians and had nothing better to do than work in a guitar store. But, however, some of those places are really awesome and they're worth going to. And I highly encourage you to support them because that's where I got all the best advice at the time. Sometimes you can get it, and a lot of them are recognizing that they can't be so arrogant all the time. They can't give you the attitude the way they used to be able to. And I really think it's one of the best ways to go because you can get your hands on things. You'll get, you know, a lot of just a lot of personal touch is what you get, you know. And they'll order stuff for you. They'll get those specific things you want. And more than ever, they're actually able now to match prices online. They recognize that they have to be able to do that. And actually, I'm willing to pay a little bit more than what I get online for something if I know I can work through somebody that I trust and that will help me if there's issues, and they will do everything they can for me. They really are much more, I think, focused on us because they have to deal with us face-to-face. Even the guys online, they just never really have to, right? We're just a credit card number on an account. Well, again, I could talk about this one forever and ever, and I didn't want to turn it into a bitch session about Sweetwater, but I did a little bit. Sorry about that. Really, I think Sweetwater is a great company. I hope that my experience was just a fluke. However, I just wanted to point out that I did have that experience, and it may not be everybody's experience, but you need to recognize that. I have also gotten several guitars from them that just rocked and are awesome, and I really appreciate their setup on. So, you know, unfortunately, as a percentage, it just wasn't working out more than it was working out. So I've chosen to go back to my old way of thinking, my old man thinking. I'm going to go back to the guitar store mentality of trying out guitars before I buy them and making sure that it's really a fit for me, because I'm picky about guitars, and you should be too. You should be very picky about what you're playing. I personally like to select my instrument and be very, very focused on what I'm getting and know that I'm going to want to play it. I don't like buying an instrument and then putting it on the wall and forgetting about it. All right, that's it. That's all I got for you. GuitarGodSecrets.com. Why aren't you there, dude? Why aren't you surfing there right now? Go over to GuitarGodSecrets.com. Get on my newsletter because I've got a very cool free video for you, and I've got several more coming out soon. This one is on the number one guitar practice hack. This is how you get better faster than anybody else out there. You got to make your practice time count, especially if you're a beginner. You got to get from beginner to intermediate to advanced as fast as possible. And the way to do that is to know how to learn and know the tricks of the trade. And the tricks are what I'm going to give you at GuitarGodSecrets.com. This is Carlos GGS from Guitar God Secrets. Come back again. And of course, leave us some positive ratings, some good mojo. Get on the, we got a forum we're starting up on the site, and I want you to feel free to ask questions and talk to me about all this cool stuff. Be talking again soon. Carlos GGS, live to play. Oh, you know the rest. Play to live.
GuitarGodSecrets.com, Guitar God Secrets podcast, and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at carlos@GuitarGodSecrets.com. We welcome your comments, suggestions, and questions, and your donations. Live to play, play to live.